Hey, legends, you know, none of our interviews or episodes ever date, ever. They are all timeless and ready for you for when you're ready to listen. Download the lot and rip in. Fishermen and women, are you ready? It's on again. It's the best thing going too. The Pertec Fishing Challenge is back April 20 and 21. It is the country's largest fishing challenge for those with the competitive edge. But there's a kicker. All proceeds, yeah, all proceeds are donated to Pertec's key charity partners, Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia and the Peter Duncan Neuroscience Research Unit at St Vincent's Hospital. It's just $30 to register, and each registration receives a limited edition cap, a brag mat and a sticker. There's a prize pool of over $300,000, including three boats and a jet ski to be won. And you can win the major prizes just by registering. You don't even need to fish. Grab your mates, register today. Head to pertecfishingchallenge.com.au for more information. And even if you're not going to cast a line, you can make a difference, just like Pertec does. Welcome back to the Legend Series on Andy Raymond Unfiltered. This is Dean Young, part two. Enjoy. An incident like that, or a headline like that, I'll term it like that, a headline like that, you can do one of two things. It can galvanise, or it can completely ruin any relationships. Things were testy for a while. Everyone was probably on being a bit careful. But ultimately, as we grow over the years, it strengthened a lot of relationships, I guess.
Yeah, we had a rough year in 2003 because of all the injuries, but we ended up playing some good footy through that next period in 04, 05 and 06. We fell short in 05 and 06 in the grand final qualifier against Melbourne in 06 and the Tigers in 05, but we still played some good footy through that period, and it was a real good team.
05, Tigers fairy tale, history for the Cowboys. But for the Dragons, is that the one that got away, or is that being too harsh?
No, it definitely got away.
Yep.
And I'm not taking anything away from the Tigers. They were a great side, well coached.
Yep.
I realise how close-knit that team is, because I just spent 3 years with Todd Payton, and you can still see the relationships that they've got as a team. So that's the most talented team I've ever played in.
The 05 Dragons?
Yeah. Yep.
Really?
Yeah, in terms of talent.
That's a huge wrap, considering what was to come.
Yeah, because we just had so much star power.
Yeah.
You know, with Mark Gazzia and Matt Cooper in the centres and Ben Hornby and Trent Barrett in the halves, Luke Bailey and Jason Rolls in the front row. I played hooker.
That's right.
Had Lance Thompson and Ben Cray in the back row, Sean Timmins lock, and you had Mike Linus off the bench, Justin Poore off the bench. So it was a fair team.
Wow.
And, yeah, it was still hurts to this day.
You guys are wired and built differently, physically awesome, but wired differently. That's why you're elite level and thousands of us aren't. Do the misses and losses almost outweigh the celebrations and the wins? You brood on the ones you didn't conquer? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard. The losses never get any easier.
No.
Like, even as a player, they hurt and you don't forget them, and then you get into coaching and they still just hurt as much. So I think it's the feeling you get from winning, you never forget, and you're just always chasing that.
Yep.
Always chasing that.
The great King, Wally Lewis, said to me during one of these interviews, he said, what separates us is, he said, we're the worst of losers.
Yeah.
Almost bad sportsmen. We hate losing that much, it becomes the driving force that we don't accept anything less than a win. Is that there or thereabouts, you reckon?
Well, that's how everyone views it.
Yeah.
Media, fans, players, coaches, because if you don't win, it's viewed as failing.
Yeah.
Rightly or wrongly.
Rightly or wrongly. We as a game put a lot of pressure on young men, don't we, at 18, 19 years of age. Whether it's media, whether it's fans, whether it's rival players or rival clubs. So much is expected of these young men, especially the modern era.
Yeah, and it normally comes back to one thing, how much they're getting paid.
Yep.
So there's two ways to look at that, you know.
Isn't there?
If you don't want the criticism, well, you don't have to take the money.
Yeah.
And just because someone's getting paid a lot, is that the right thing to do is to put them under that sort of pressure? So it is what it is. It's not going to change. I'm not going to change it. No. You're not going to change it. It's going to be going to continue to happen.
Yeah, you're 100% right.
What I will say, though, is that players these days have so much more support around them in terms of how to handle that. And the world's different, as we spoke about earlier.
What was the support network for you in 2003 when you entered first grade like? Who was there to help you within the club?
Well, my partner, Brooke, who's been with me for a long period of time, she was my main support and always has been. My father.
Yeah.
And then my coaches.
What about an official role around the club?
No, there wasn't.
There wasn't welfare
back then.
Or media or no, there wasn't.
Definitely. Now every club's got 2 to 3 welfare officers, and they do an incredible job, the NRL and the clubs, to support the players through tough times.
Hooker, lock, second row, you got shuffled around some. What did you prefer, mate? If you could have played every game in the same jersey, which number would it have been and why?
13. Yeah, I liked lock, but it was always best for the team that I started at 9 because I was a bigger 9 but a small back rower. So to start off with a bigger 9 was best for the team, and then after 20 minutes I'd go back to lock, and that's where I enjoyed it. But I knew I was never good enough to have the position locked down, so I never took it for granted. I always did what was best for the team.
2010, what a footy side. All the ingredients to be successful. It was all there, and one of the most underrated sides and grand final performances in modern history.
He knows there's a chance. Soward puts a little kick in. There's a try for Gasnier. Gasnier, I think, has got the first try.
And Mark Gasnier, with speed, momentum, catches the ball, gets it down just inside the dead ball line for opening points.
Behind Scotland, here's Boyd into the back. Trouble. Nightingale has scored for the Dragons.
Mate, what stands out from the GF experience for you?
Well, it's just relief.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was relief.
We've done it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I grew up obviously supporting the Dragons. My father had won 2 grand finals, 1 as captain. That's all I ever wanted to do. I got to first grade, which was a fair achievement in itself from where I started, and with probably the talent that I had. In 2005, we blew a great opportunity to win a grand final.
Yep.
And in 2006, we got beaten in the same game against the Melbourne Storm. So then the media start saying we're chokers, which we probably were.
Mm.
But that hurt. Like when you've got people that, they're calling you chokers and you can't get it done. We used to deny that it had any impact on us and used to annoy us, but it certainly was a driving force for me. I took it personal. And
when the club says we don't read the papers or listen to the news.
We knew what people were saying about us. So, you know, when Wayne arrived, he walked through the doors with his aura and gave us a lot of belief. And we went on the journey. We won minor premiers in 2009, got spat out the back door in straight sets. So here we go again.
Yeah.
Here comes the paper talk again. We can't get it done.
Yeah.
And then finally got it done in 2010. And that's how I felt. That's how Ben Cray, Matt Cooper, Ben Hornby, Mark Gasnier felt. But that's not how Darius Boyd or Michael Wayman or Neville Koskin or Jeremy Smith felt, because they hadn't gone through what we'd been through. They'd come to, they're the missing pieces for that particular team. So their feelings on it would be probably totally different to the core group that had played at the club for so long before that.
The photo of you and Dad in tears, the emotion of that moment, that's awesome.
Yeah, it is nice. I suppose he's seen firsthand, along with my wife, Brooke, what I've been through to get to that point. Obviously, the sacrifice that not only you make, but your parents to drive you around to all the rep games when you're growing up, and the sacrifice your wife and kids make because you've got to go training, or you can't holiday when you want a holiday, or footy's just your priority.
You can't go to that wedding because
Can't go to that party. Then the issues that I had with my knee, there was a period of time where I didn't think I'd play footy again in 07 and 06. So,
fishermen and women, are you ready? It's on again. It's the best thing going too. The Pertec Fishing Challenge is back April 20 and 21. It is the country's largest fishing challenge for those with the competitive edge. But there's a kicker. All proceeds, all proceeds are donated to Pertec's key charity partners, Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia and the Peter Duncan Neuroscience Research Unit at St. Vincent's Hospital. It's just $30 to register, and each registration receives a limited edition cap, a brag mat and a sticker. There's a prize pool of over $300,000, including three boats and a jet ski to be won. And you can win the major prizes just by registering. You don't even need to fish. Grab your mates, register today. Head to pertecfishingchallenge.com.au for more information. And even if you're not going to cast a line, you can make a difference, just like Pertec does.
To finally get over all that, to fail multiple times and then to come over with a win was special.
You're a resilient bugger, mate, because that knee injury, it should have ended you. And you know that, it should have ended you. But apart from that knee injury, you pretty much played most games most years, especially towards the back end, and did it in pain.
Yeah, well, I've got to put that down to having coaches and performance staff that believed in me, because from when I did it in the last game of 06, the next year I come back too early, we were struggling, and we won from five, so I come back too early, played three games in a row, and then got stress fractures in my knee.
Yep.
And that's what sort of slowed me up. But from that point on, I did play a lot of footy in those last few years, and that's just because coaches were willing to pick me when I didn't train.
Yep.
And performance staff believed in me, knew that I'd go to the next level to get myself right. And I think for the last 3 or 4 years, you know, I was down to doing the captain's run only. And then the last year of my career, in 2012, I might have played 20-something games for the year, but there was 8 games where I went from game to game without even running.
Wow. That's crazy.
But then Stephen Price still picked me. So without the support of Andrew Gray and Jeremy Hickmans and Wayne Bennett and Nathan Brown and Pricey to say, we know that he's going to do everything in his power to get himself ready to play and he doesn't have to run, I'm forever grateful, because if there was a coach that said you had to train to play, I would have been retired a lot earlier than I retired. So I'm always grateful for those people.
The knee just had enough, and that was the reason for retirement?
Yeah. I just couldn't train.
Yep.
And then too much pain, and It was time. 28 was young, but played 10 years and made a lot of great memories. So no regrets.
Was there an opportunity at a complete season off, completely fixing the knee and going again, or you were done?
No, I was done. Even to this day, they're still worried about operating on my knee because I had the staph infection. They don't like to reopen wounds and stuff like that.
So
I will come to the stage where I'll have to get a knee replacement and get an operation, but no operation was going to fix what was going on with my knee, so it was just time.
One memory I do have really clearly of you is in terms of rep honours, very rarely do fans from differing sides at State of Origin or Australian time agree on one thing, but the majority of fans, my mates in particular, every year, Dean Young should be there, should be playing for New South Wales. Look, you played for country, you played for New South Wales, you played for Australia, I think, 1-1-1.
Yep.
To be so close, no doubt frustrating, but what a wonderful way to be looked at by rival fans, blokes that hate St George saying Dean Young should be there. That's a nice rap, mate.
Yeah, it is. I've always had dreams of playing rep football. I was 18th man for New South Wales in 2006 when the tide turned. I was sitting on the sideline when Brett Hodgson threw the pass, did he?
Oh, yeah.
And Lockyer scooped it up and Queensland won when they shouldn't have won. At the end of that year, I did my knee. So I thought rep football was off the table for me. I was just thought if I can get back playing footy, that's a win.
Yeah.
What happens is when your team's successful, individuals get rewarded with rep honours, and that's what happened with me. We won the grand final in 2010 and I found myself on the Four Nations Tour a week and a half later. So I got to play for Australia at the end of 2010.
Great experience.
It was awesome. Tim Sheen said, for day one of the camp, he said, everyone's going to get a game, you have my word. So straight away I was like, how good's this? I'm going to play a test match and play for my country.
Yeah.
So that was awesome. The first game was against PNG, so I thought he's going to roll out all us emus, but he's picked his best side against PNG. Then they've gone down to Melbourne and played Great Britain or played England, played his best side again, Lockyer, all these type of players. So that means he's got to give us a game, the next game, which was against the Kiwis at Eden Park in front of 60,000 people. And there was me and Todd Carney, Cooper Cronk, Brett Morris, Darius Boyd. And he gave us a run. We beat him 32-20, I think.
Yeah.
And then we played the Kiwis the next week in the final. And he's put all the big guns back in and we got beat.
He got done. Exactly right.
I remember Greg Bird. He's a bit of a lair bird. We're sitting in the box as emus. We're supporting the boys and the boys went down and Birdie stood up and said, should have played us. I don't know if that would have made a difference, but that was Birdie for you. With Origin.
You were named on the bench but actually started your game, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I'll never forget Ricky Stewart, what he did for me, because I grew up wanting to play Origin, play for New South Wales. I love the Blues. And Ricky Stewart used to go around to all the clubs and talk to all the performance staff. About their players and what they can and can't do at training, all the rest of it. And Andrew Gray was the head of performance at the Dragons at the time. And Ricky came to Wynn Stadium and watched us train and then said to Andrew Gray, I'm going to pick Dino. And Drew said, well, you've got to realise he won't be training much. And he goes, well, how much is he going to train in a 10-day camp? And Andrew said to him, he can train 30 minutes on the main session and he can train 10 minutes on the captain's run in 10 days. And Sticky still picked me.
Wow. I didn't know that story.
So I'll be forever grateful to Ricky Stewart to give me that opportunity to play for New South Wales, even though that I was so restricted with your training when you're coming into a camp with new players and training is crucial, isn't it, for combinations. I'm always grateful for Sticky for that opportunity.
A hypothetical for you, mate. The game's changed so much since Dad's debut in 1977 to your retirement in 2012. How does Dad go in the modern era? Does he still dominate?
Well, I think all great players would find a way in any era.
Yeah.
To be fair, I think he was like 101 kilo or something as a front rower in his time. Now the front
row
and big. He's a big front rower.
Yeah.
And the front rowers that I'm coaching now, they're 115 to 125.
Yeah.
So the weights and the training's changed. So I think all great players would find a way of making an error, to be fair.
How do you go back in the free-for-all era that Dad played?
I don't know.
Would have you loved it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I love the game.
Yeah.
I still like watching old games.
Yeah.
Now I think there's parts of the old games I think are better than today's games and vice versa. So, I'm footy tragic.
A third generation, would you love to see another young in the red V or rather they steer clear of footy?
If that's what Roman wants to do and, that happens for him, I'll be happy for him. He's Roman's 12 and obsessed with rugby league, and it's not something that's pushed on him, I can assure you. I grew up playing soccer, cricket, basketball, rugby league, all sports, where yep. Roman is just obsessed. He loves footy, plays touch, he plays Oztag, he goes fishing, and that's about it. I've tried to push him into basketball and get him to play something else, but that's not what he wants to do. So whatever my twin girls, they're 15, Ellie and Sienna, whatever they decide to do and whatever Roman decides to do, I'll support them.
209 NRL games, Origin, Australian jerseys in the closet as well, a premiership winner and a bloke who well and truly stepped out of the enormous shadow that his father had left. And no one was prouder than Dad on your journey. It's been great chatting, Dean Young. You, sir, are a legend.
Thanks for having me.
The best footy and life talk there is. I hope you enjoyed this edition of the Legend Series. The Rugby League Superpod comes out later in the week and the Dream Team Series on a weekend. Four podcasts every week in season on the only podcast that talks with the game's biggest names, not about them. Now, isn't it about time you left that 5-star rating and review? Make sure you come back soon, Legends.